All right. Okay, ready.
Okay. Shall we just go then?
Yeah.
Okay, here it comes. Blah, 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 blah. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, July 5th, 2025. It's just after 16 UTC as we're starting to record. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bowes here. Hello, Yvonne.
Hi. You know, we were supposed to do this together this week. That was my plan.
We had thought about doing this in person, like right before or right after the meetup or something.
But unfortunately.
Yes. What happened, Yvonne?
I will say that now, with all the facts in front of me, after what happened, it's clearly my fault.
Oh no, what happened?
Well, sometime late last year, during one of our last trips, I had noticed that Manu's, and anybody on YouTube could see, use these Solo Beats headphones that he had gotten many years ago. And I say he had gotten because he had gotten to be, as my son closes the door on me because I'm bothering him, he liked to travel, but he liked to use his iPad, and you can't really be traveling on an airplane without the headphones. Okay?
For the sound on the iPad.
Right. Exactly. And so, you know, it bothers the other passengers. It's actually, you know, they do have, you know, some rules related to that that said, you know, on the airlines that you can't, you know, just be blasting stuff. Okay?
Right.
So, you know, I was like trying to get him to use headphones. I'd been struggling to get him to use headphones. Part of the reason is that my son, who has autism, doesn't have a lot of sensory issues, but the one that he has is stuff. Stuff touching his earlobes or ear.
Ah, okay.
It's not the sound. He has no problem with the sound. Blast music all you want, go to a party, whatever. It's the actual physical sensation against the ear itself, which also manifests itself as we had struggled to get him to learn to swim, because any time that one of the parts about learning to swim is to dunk your head underwater, that was always something excruciating for him. Okay? Always was a problem. We've gotten to learn to swim. And, you know, the thing is that the biggest thing about him learning to swim wasn't, hey, I don't want him to be a competition swimmer. I just want to make sure that if he falls in the water, since we have so much in Florida, that he can get out.
Right. It would be safe.
Yes. And that was the main goal. As he learned to swim, basically his entire thing, you could see that his main mission was to keep his head above the water itself.
Okay. Which is a reasonable mission.
Which is a reasonable thing, by the way, when you're swimming as well, by the way. Okay? You know, so that's not exactly that bad. But it also manifested itself with headphones, where he had been refusing to, you know, he had been, But one day, like years ago, as I'm trying to get him to shop for headphones, that actually I was at the Apple store about something else, they'd been doing a demo of the Solo Beats headphones. And he went and ambled over to the table where they were doing the demo of this music app and whatnot and handing out people headphones. And lo and behold, he grabbed the headphones and he put them on. And he put them on and he stayed there playing and listened, you know, watching the demonstration for a while. And I'm like, okay, how much are these? $300-something sold. Okay. I was like, I don't care. What the fuck's the price? I had been struggling to get him to wear any headphones up until then. I'm like, you know, they could have told, literally the guy could have told me, oh, it's $1,500. And I would have been like, okay, fine.
Right.
Pack them up. Yeah. So, you know, we got those. And he's used them now for a long time. The problem is that I had noticed one of the last trips is that the cushions had started to flake
or break and flake. Yeah.
So I was like, look, I'll just get them new headphones. All right. So I got them. These that are Beats Solo, but they're not, they actually are very different. Okay.
Okay.
The cushions are not the, they are really different.
It's like a new model,
yeah,
or something. So they changed, yeah, a bunch of stuff.
All right. Well, look, I didn't realize.
And so they weren't his headphones.
Yeah. So I didn't realize this was an, I didn't think that this was an issue because I had actually, when I got on them, he had them in his desk. I think he wore them for a little bit. And then I was like, ah, it's fine. Well, look, well, we're heading to the airport. Well, we had left for the airport very early. He got very sad and he started complaining about the headphones on the way to the airport. So I decided to try to go back.
Yep.
To get the, all right, go get the white headphones.
The right headphones.
But
at least you hadn't thrown them away.
No, no, I hadn't thrown them away. No, which, yeah, I mean, I had thought about that, but no, I did not. So, well, actually, we had forgotten like about three things. We had forgotten first he said about the headphones, and I'm like, no, we got the new headphones. No, we're wrong. And then he realized he didn't put on his Apple Watch. Now, was more important because, look, if he gets lost, like,
I can find him. Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, he doesn't like carrying his phone in his pocket. He really, like, you know, and I'm like, fuck, no, we need to go. But we left early enough that we could do this. And then my wife forgot this little thing for motion sickness that she uses as well. And I'm like, fuck, well, that's the reason we'd been ready very early. We had left super early. We could turn around. We can get all this shit. Okay. But the moment that we got on the plane, because the last time we flew at night, we wound up being downgraded into coach on this airplane in an overnight flight. And I must admit that Manu got really tired and cranky near the end of that flight when we were coming from the West Coast. So I said, well, let's not do that again. I splurged. I bumped us into first class, because they wouldn't give me a free upgrade because there's only like, they'll only give you like, for example, like me and a companion. But if it's three of you, no, we're not going to give you three upgrades. Okay. We'll give you two. But the problem is if you're in a group of three, they won't even put you on the upgrade list. So I had to pay. I'm like, look, I'll pay for the damn upgrades. Just put us, you know, I don't want to deal with this. It's a flight that leaves at 8 o'clock. It's going to get there at local time over here, 2 something in the morning. You know, let's just. So we sit down and Manu starts, after a little bit, starts getting really nervous about these headphones being around. He doesn't want to, because I said, well, look, you'll use the white ones a little bit and you'll try the blue ones. I need to get off this plane.
So now,
this was right after we boarded.
But even though you got the headphones you want, it was because you still had the other ones? Because you might make him use them.
Yes. And I hadn't really thought that it was that bad. The thing is that at the moment, he wasn't saying it was about the headphones.
Right.
He just said, I'm afraid. I need to get off this plane. I'm scared.
Yep.
Crew tried to settle him down. Captain tried to settle him down. Had him sit down in the cockpit and everything. But look, he went out on the jetway and he was like, no. And, you know, we tried. My wife tried arguing with him. She didn't understand what the hell was going on because I was the one that was sitting right beside him. But I could see how... Look, how afraid and how upset he was. And I told him, look, man, we're not going anywhere. This is not happening. This is just not happening. So customer service agent came up and asked, so what's the deal? What are we doing? We're not going. So I walked back out. And thankfully, American, well, given that I'm a good customer, went and they canceled my segments. And if you cancel them right before departure, then you get your trip credit. Yeah, you get everything back as a trip credit. Okay. So I did not lose any of that. And I did manage to call Marriott. And also, even though I was well past the cancellation, they did cancel the hotel in Seattle and everything. So So Manu, it took a while for him to calm down from this because, well, in part, he was very upset with himself that he didn't fly because he likes to fly.
Right. But the one good thing out of this story is you have determined that it is not a permanent fear of flying. No. Because, you know, I know that was a concern. Yes. When this started.
But no, it's not a fear of flying. He was actually very upset that he couldn't fly. He was very hard on himself later. I made a mistake. Yeah, he was being super hard on himself. Then after he calmed down and they explained to me, I said, Manu, was it just because of the headphones? Yes. So, well... Okay, so good news. So I'm working. One of the things about this is that in order for many of these things with him, and this is for anybody, you know, a child with autism, in order to condition him to these things, one of the things that you do is that you try to condition them to the device or whatever, taking some time in order for them to get used to it with some time. And so I'm working on that right now with him, where he is actually, and I think he may have gotten not used to not, I don't know. He's really very fond of these headphones. So first thing is I did manage. Well, a friend of mine actually managed to find where they sell the little cushion replacements.
Right.
So okay. I'm getting those because these headphones are actually fine. It's just the cushions.
Right.
So I managed to see a place where they sell those. And then what we're working is on some just conditioning where he is using them for a few minutes every day. He is touching the blue ones every day. He's working on them, which is something that I've done before with other things. And over time, he gets used to it and that fear goes away. But it does take time to do that. And I have not done that with the... I didn't really think... The thing is that with Manu, it's so rare that he... that he gets like that over things that I just, you know what, didn't think about it. And so,
right.
So that goes on me because I should have known, given how difficult it was for him to use headphones in the first place, that's just changing out the headphones. But again, you know, I don't know, man. I got him a new TV. I got him a new computer. I got him this stuff. None of that was a big deal.
And he was fine.
Yes!
With us. Right.
You know, fine. For the most part, you know, it's like, hey, but the thing is that his really, you know, he has very few sensory issues, but the one that he does have that he's always had is related to the ears. And so it's something that you need to, you know, us parents with children with autism, there are things that you have to be cognizant of these things and to deal with them in the best way possible. The one way that I've done this before with other items that Manu was scared of, there's a few items that he was scared of, like the hair trimmer. So I basically bought a hair trimmer and I left it in his room until he was stopped being scared of it, around it. And then I started just trimming his hair a little bit at home and he would let me do it and he would touch it 30 seconds or whatever, boop, boop, boop. But over time, over months and months, now he's like comfortable with a trimmer or the hair or nail clippers for some reason. That's also one that he was scared of. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's the little things that you have to have a tactic to deal with. So, bottom line, my wife, she's in Vancouver. Look, she was going to an event. She was going to a convention in Vancouver. We were going, you know, the whole thing, my idea was, hey, well, Seattle and Vancouver are relatively close. Why don't I go to Seattle for a little bit, see Sam? We drive up, had a rental car, go to Vancouver, and then fly back from Vancouver. Well, I managed because I did get our tickets refunded and whatever and whatnot. Well, I put her on a plane to Vancouver on Thursday because one thing is that I wasn't sure. Now, Manu has promised me right now that if I fix the white headphones, he will get back on an airplane.
Okay.
He said that's no problem and actually has been asking, where can we go? And I'm like, look, we're not going to go right now. I do have the flight credits. I have tickets paid for. So it's not like it's that big a deal. It's not the money. I got paid for tickets. So I just, you know.
But this was the time you had
this
set.
This is the time we had set. Exactly. That's the problem. Okay? This is the time that we had set. So, you know, I might take them with me on one of my next business trips since it's summer. I just might take them with him. And since I got family, I got to go to Puerto Rico. Since I have family, I'll talk to my aunt and say, hey, can you, you know, if I got to go to a business meeting, go watch Manu while I have to go to a meeting or something or whatever. I could probably figure out who can mine Manu while I do some work. So that may be my next experiment. But anyway, it's my fault. We're not there. I messed up. So
sorry to the people who said they wanted to meet us for the Curmudgeon's Corner meetup. Maybe some other time. We'll see.
I think Manu wants to go to Seattle. So I don't know. Probably have to figure out to speak.
Someday.
You know.
Yeah. So, and we did have a couple people who were going to show up.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, anyway. Okay, I have a story. I have a story too. So I'm actually going to dispense with the movies and books and stuff.
Dispensing.
For this. I've been doing two a week for a few weeks. So, you know, we will dispense with those and I will tell a story instead. And, you know, look, yeah, okay. So, and then we'll see. Like, there is newsy stuff to talk about. I'm not going to worry too much. We can squeeze that to the end of the show. It's fine. Like, you know, whatever.
I mean, the world is, you know, fucked up. Here, news summary. Our country is fucked up. The world is fucked up. Okay, here you go. News summary. Next.
Okay, there you go. Okay, I'll tell my story. So last weekend, and this was happening probably not, well, it overlapped with the story you just told. So it was Sunday last weekend. So Brandy was going to go to one of like a pride parade in Seattle.
Okay.
Okay. So she was going to go and participate and help like carry the flag and do some stuff, meet some friends, do whatever. And so she didn't want to drive there because, you know, it was like a one-way parade. You know, you start in one place and you go like 2 miles and you end up somewhere else. And she didn't want to walk back to get to the car, blah, 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 all kinds of things. So the plan was that I would drop her off and then pick her up like later. Right. So I drove her into Seattle. I dropped her off near the start of the parade route. And of course, it gets crowded as you get close. So it didn't get quite as close to it as I wanted to, but I dropped her off and she went. And so I started to go home. And I went a little ways towards home. Car started overheating.
Oh boy.
Yes. Car started overheating. So I'm
now
like,
wait, which car I was driving your car?
I was driving
which
my
which is a Subaru.
It's a 2012 Subaru Impreza.
2012 Subaru. How many miles on this thing?
Like 151,000.
Well, okay. Here so from what I know,
I have a lot of story left to go.
Well,
go ahead,
here's
your,
okay.
Make
so
your
based on the information you've told me, these Subarus of that vintage have issues specifically around head gaskets that cause coolant loss, that cause overheating. This has been a well-known thing.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we get there. So good prediction. I will tell the rest of the story, and then we will see if you are right. Okay, so first thing I do is I'm like, this happened. It started overheating right before I was going to get on the highway.
Oh, shit.
So I say, I'm not going to get on the highway.
No.
I say, I'm not going to get on the highway. And so I pass the exit to the highway, and I'm looking for like a parking lot I can pull off over into or something like that. but the light goes out. It looks like it's happy again. I'm like, okay, well, maybe it was something transient. Even for those of you who can't see, Yvonne is shaking his head vigorously.
No.
So you started
wishful thinking.
I started wishful thinking. I did a big like ten. I did a big loop around. The light didn't go on for like 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, I'll get on the highway.
And so you went 10 minutes, which you could have used on the highway better.
I could have, yes. Although where I was, like, it took a while to get back.
It's not usually on the highway. Okay. And it depends on what the failure is.
You've got more cooling because of the airflow. Yes. Okay. So anyway, I got on the highway and the first thing I'm doing is because of where I was and the route home, I was crossing the lake from Seattle, Washington to Bellevue, Washington. So I was on like bridges and stuff. So I'm like on the bridge going across and I'm about halfway through and it starts like
shuddering.
No, it doesn't shudder. What did it do? It's just the
lights.
Just the lights blinking on the dashboard. I have no other signs of this. Like there's no like smoke.
The light came back on.
The light came back on and not only that, it started blinking between the red light.
Oh man.
Which indicates not only is it hot, but the fluid levels are low. Okay. So I managed to get off the bridge.
Okay. Park.
I pull over. I find some place to park. It's actually near where we used to live before we moved to Everett.
Okay.
So I knew the area. Okay. It's in Bellevue, Washington. For anybody who near here, it's like the Factoria Mall. I ended up parked like near the Factoria Mall. The first thing I saw was a Jiffy Lube, and I pulled into the damn Jiffy Lube, just in case. I'm like, okay, am I just out of fluids? They were closed, so it didn't matter. Good. But so I ended up at a parking lot at the mall, and so
AAA?
A gas station. I went to a gas station next.
AAA.
I'm like, well, first I'm like, you know, maybe I just have to like fill up the radiator or whatever, fill up the cooler. Yvonne shaking his head again.
No.
Oh, you'll love the rest of
this.
We're not even close to the end.
Jeez. Okay.
So, first of all, I am like, you know, hey, I could just call AAA. Yeah, yes, the thought was there.
Yes. Yes.
But no, I'm at the gas station. They have some coolant. Like I wait for everything to cool down.
Good. All right. At least you didn't do that stuff.
I didn't open it and have it explode in my face. I'm not in the hospital.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. you could have had the scary episode without being in the hospital, you know, as some people have. But okay. All right. So you didn't wait for it to cool down. How long?
I did wait for it to cool down. I added coolant. The whole thing. I waited. I was looking up instructions on the internet on how long I should wait and what kind I should put in and all this kind of stuff. Because of course I don't know. Because I'm not a car person at all. But I'm looking up what I should add, how much I should add, how long I should.
So the number one thing that these people didn't tell you is like, hey, you know what? This adding coolant thing doesn't really work. You really should just, you know, at this point we should just quit. None of these idiots on the fucking internet said this because this is the thing that pisses me off about the fucking internet. And you know, the first thing they should have told you is, hey, you know what? Guess what? If you're in this situation, just quit while you're ahead. Don't do anything. Because if your car is low on coolant so quickly,
something else is
majorly wrong.
Right. Okay. So. After waiting the appropriate time, I try to drive again.
Uh-huh.
So I make it, it goes like, I don't know, less than five minutes. And then it starts overheating again.
Of course.
So, and then I'll leave out a couple steps here because there were some, you know, start and stop. But I ended up in the parking lot of the Factoria Mall and, you know, I popped a hood, start, you know, ready to look again. Ready to add more fluids, you know, because I hadn't.
You hadn't filled it.
I added some, but I bought like 1 gallon and it hadn't filled it entirely. So I'm like, okay, maybe I need to add more. And so I went and bought two more gallons.
Did you look to see if it was leaking?
There was nothing visible under the car.
Okay.
Like there was not like a pool of stuff other than when I poured like the.
Well, yeah, that you filled the fluid and mist. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that.
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
Because, of course, the first time I did this, I didn't get a funnel or anything.
Yeah. Okay, all right. That's standard operating procedure. Yes, okay. All right, good. All right, I'm glad.
Okay, so this time when I opened it, I noticed a very visible large hole in one of the radiator pipes.
It was a big slug. Okay, so what are radiator hoses popped?
Yes.
Not good.
Yes, not good. So then skipping a few steps, because there were other thought processes and things that were going. But, and don't get me started on why this even like crossed my mind.
What crossed your mind, good Lord?
I was within sight of an auto parts store. So I'm like, this looks easy. I'll just get the hose.
Oh my God.
No. Yvonne is holding his head in his hands.
What raging thoughts of delusion were crossing?
Well, first I was
going to
duct tape the hole.
Probably a better idea. given your skill set, probably would have been a better idea.
So I bought the right hose. I bought the wrench they told me I needed.
Oh, God, these guys at the auto parts store are also a bunch of fucking idiots. I'm like, they're not looking at this guy. Do you even know what you're doing, sir? Should be the first thing.
So I got the old hose off in like 30 seconds. I started putting the new one on. I got the new one in place. But the sort of friction brackets they had, the tool they'd given me could not get them open enough to get over the hose to clamp it properly. Okay. So these are the kinds of brackets, by the way, where it's not the kind with the little screw. It's the kind that are like tension. So they close up and you have to like pull them open with a lot of force and then get them
over. So these hose clamps are not like, they're not the ones that you tighten with a screw. These are actually tension ones. Okay. All right. Got it. All right.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And the wrench they gave me just kept slipping. It just could not produce enough force. It kept slipping. So after like trying this for like an hour, maybe more, I went back to the auto parts store and I was like, you know, this wrench is not doing the thing. And so they gave me, they exchanged it. They exchanged the wrench. They gave me a better, more expensive wrench. Okay. And at this point also, this is a crucial thing. They said, you know, it might be good also just get new of the clamps, but they didn't have the right kind. They only had the screw kind. And they mentioned that, but the screw kind isn't recommended for this because it can't really handle
the pressure.
They'll come loose. They will come loose over time.
It can't handle the pressure.
Yeah. So like, now here's the thing. I was never intending to make a permanent repair. I just wanted to get the thing so I could drive it to the shop instead of calling AAA. Okay.
Which, by the way, this is the thing about your explanation. Why does this make sense? Since all you're trying to do is to get into the fucking shop, why the hell did you just have it towed to the fucking shop, which you already paid for AAA, so it is free, and then just take an Uber home?
Well, in part, because by this point, I'd already done half. I'd taken off the old hose. I'm like, oh, this would be embarrassing.
This is what we're concerned about. Oh, okay. All right. This will be embarrassing at this point. Okay.
I've done a half-ass bad repair.
So you just don't want to look like like an idiot. Oh, okay. All right. That's our biggest concern at this point. Okay.
Right. So anyway, so they had the screw ones. They were on the thing. I had them there. And but because they were like, these aren't good for this though. I'm like, okay, I'll just get the wrench. I'm not going to get the screw things and I'll go back. And they're very friendly. They're very nice. They're like, if this doesn't work, come right back. Okay. But I went.
What time of the day is this by now?
Okay. Well, this whole thing started probably around 1.
Okay, 1 o'clock.
In
okay,
the afternoon. Okay. But by this time, it was like 5 or
holy
6.
Shit. We've been at this already for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
So by the way, what's Brandy doing at this point?
Brandy's still at the parade.
Okay, Brandy's still at the parade. Okay, fine. Okay. You haven't told her anything about this.
No. I've been in constant communication.
Oh, no, she knows. So she knows. Okay, all right, fine.
She knows. She knows all this is going on. And... yeah, and you know, there are a few places I said I skipped stuff. Like before I went to the auto parts store, I like went to like the Target that was also in to see if I could get duct tape or see if I could get other things. And then I realized, okay, that's not going to do it. So then I looked, you know, is there an auto parts store nearby? And it was like right across the street from where I'd parked. So I was like, okay, I'll go over there, you know. Anyway, I'd left out a bunch of steps and walking back and forth and doing things. And at one point, you know, I was trying again, adding more fluid, but I needed to let it cool down again. So I went and had lunch at the mall, you know. So
one of the few sensible things that you did, which is like at some point, you know, why don't I have lunch? I actually think that was one of the few sensible things I've heard so far. Yes.
So anyway, with this new wrench, I got much, much further.
Okay.
I got one end of the hose basically on.
Okay.
I could tell it wasn't quite where it was supposed to be, but it was secure enough that I could not remove it by pulling it with my hand.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, basically, if you know how these things work, there's a little lip where you stick the hose onto a metal part, and there's a little lip on that. You have to get over the lip. And then you clamp it on the other side of the lip so it can't pull off, okay? And on the one end, I got it so the clamp was on the lip.
Okay.
Not past the lip, but on the lip. Okay. So it wasn't, I knew it wasn't how it was supposed to be, but it seemed okay. Okay. The other side, for the life of me, I could not get on.
No, really.
I could not get it over the lip, okay? And so I tried. I kept going over and over and over again. Like, I could get the clamp on, I could get the hose on where it's supposed to be, but I could not get the clamp into position over where it is. And part of what this apparently is, as I have learned subsequently, the OEM parts, well, the non-OEM parts, like the kind I got from the auto parts store, are slightly thicker and slightly stiffer than the name brand parts that you would have gotten from the factory. So they are harder to get on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like basically the hose was just slightly too thick for me to get it over the lump. And like, I am sure an experienced technician with all the tools and stuff.
Yeah, they could have gotten it on. Right. Yeah.
They could have gotten it on, but I could not. Fully. So, of course, the first thing I do is I get it on as best I can. And I'm like, okay, I'll give this a shot. It's the best I can. I've been trying for hours. I'll drive around the mall parking lot for a couple minutes, see if it seems like it's going, and then start going. So I drive around the mall parking lot a couple minutes. It's going kind of okay. So I decide to cross the street and go back to the gas station where I'd originally filled up the fluids because I'm like, I'll just go short. I'll check it. And I need some oil too. Maybe I'll buy some oil. Maybe I'll add some oil while I'm at
sure.
it.
Sure. Right? The oil's going to fix this problem, of course.
So I go across the street to the gas station. I get some oil. I pop the hood open. And guess what? The hose came off on the end that was not clearly on right, which of course you would expect.
It wasn't clearly on right.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't on right. So then here is the next big mistake I made.
Yeah.
You know, those of you who are only listening to audio and not watching on video are missing out on all of Yvonne's facial expressions during all of this.
I'm just like Yeah, I'm just every second of the story. It's like I just hear Sam just sliding further and further into quicksand. That's all it feels like, you know. And he keeps like trying harder to get out of the quicksand. Just keeps burying him further and further. Yes.
Hey, look, I was actually like, I was proud of myself. I like kind of replaced the host.
I mean, it looked on there. It looked like it was on.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. Well, not quite. But, you know.
No. But it's like if you were like 10 feet away, it looked like it was on.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. If you were 10 feet away, it would look like it was on. Right. If you looked carefully, you would realize one end was not fully
secured.
Exactly. But,
yeah.
You know.
Close enough. It's like horseshoes and hand grenades, you know? Yeah, you know.
Anyway, so here's my mistake. Well, my next mistake. There are many, many mistakes in this story, and we're not done yet. But it was now 7 p.m.
Jesus Christ, 6 hours of this. Okay.
The auto parts store closes at 8. Yeah. Closes at 8. And at this point, I'm like, maybe those ones with the screw, I should have bought them while I was there. Okay. And because they loosen over time, but they'd probably be fine for me to drive to the dealer.
Here's the other thing that I realized is you told me that you had been in constant contact with Brandy. Brandy is a very do-it-yourself repair person.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that instead of like, if you would have asked me, which I would have said, get the fucking car, call AAA, put the fucking car in the tow truck, get it over there. Brandy was probably trying to guide you.
She was encouraging me and being sort of like, she was like impressed that I was even trying.
Exactly. So she was impressed that you were trying.
Because I am also not a do-it-yourself person.
No,
my
natural
inclination
is
would
to
have,
not, you know.
But here's the thing,
you
know, too.
But so yeah. The thing is, it's not about being a do-it-yourself person or not, okay? The problem is recognizing the problem, okay? And how bad it is. Because, for example, the thing is, I don't.
You would be immediately like, it's not just
exactly. My diagnosis is this is beyond my skills. Done.
Right.
No, we're not even trying because I already know from experience this is beyond my skills. Okay? This thing needs to be towed. There is no reason the car just loses, you know, a car, you know, the cooling system. In modern cars, for any of you that don't know this out there, it's a sealed system, okay? Unless there is some
you should never have to
you
add
should
something.
Never, ever need to add fluid. So unless there is some kind of leak or failure, the water pump failed, the main gasket failed, the hose failed, something failed in the system, you shouldn't need to add water. At any point in time, okay? And if the worst thing is that if the water is not visible, so say, hey, you're low, but it's not visible, okay? It means that it's something bad. It's really bad. Because one thing is, hey, you get to the front of the car and you see all the water running out. You know immediately, hey, the radiator broke, hose popped off. No big deal. You can just replace those in a second. But if it's low and you go look and you don't see any of it, that's when it's really bad.
Right. So anyway, to continue the story, I realized the hose had popped off when I went to add the oil. I never did add the oil, by the way.
Well, at least now you got oil.
Yeah. Well, the oil did eventually get added. Just not by me. We'll continue. Oh, by the way, I should mention, by this point, at least twice, Good Samaritans had stopped by to see what I was doing and see if they
could. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Nice.
So,
nice
so like,
what, good,
what, good, one guy good. Came one guy came by and was like, oh, I've replaced this hose a few times myself. Here's a trick to get the tension thing. And he tried the trick. He's like, because you can use zip ties to sort of grab it and help pull it together. And he tried to do that, and he did that, and he spent like 15 minutes with me, like working with it. And he's the one who sort of like, hey, this wrench they gave you the first time.
It sucks. This is not good.
It's broken. It's bad. It's like, take this back, get a different one. And then another guy came by and also sort of looked in and helped and taught. He didn't really like help. He didn't get his hands dirty like the first guy, but he like, you know, came by and was like encouraging. I don't know what he was. But anyway, like at least twice, just, you know, random people coming by the parking lot came by to help. So anyway, so at this point, after I got the oil at the gas station and the hose popped off, it's 7 p.m. The parts shop closes at 8. I could have gone back and gotten those, the ones with the screws. But here's the thing. You know, we talked a little bit earlier in the show about autism. Now we can talk about mine. I was in an autistic spiral at this point, because here's the deal. Like, if I had never tried at all, if I had originally just said, I'm calling AAA, we're done here.
Right.
Then I would have been, you know, AAA would have picked me up in an hour or whatever. We would have been cool. But because I had started to try to get this damn hose on.
You were like on a mission from God to get this damn hose on.
That's right. And I could not think of anything else. So I kept trying over and over and over again. And I'm like, the auto parts store is closing in 15 minutes. The auto parts store is closing in 10 minutes. I'm like, I should stop this and go get the other brackets, because with the brackets and a screwdriver, I might actually be able to do this. But no, I kept trying and trying and trying. The auto parts store closed. I kept trying and trying and trying and trying. I once again got it to sort of the best I could possibly do.
Okay.
I drove it a few hundred feet across the thing again to the mall. It did pop off again, which was not unexpected. I knew I hadn't gotten it on any tighter. I'm talking to my wife again. The parade is now over. She's like, are you going to call AAA at this point? I'm like, I don't know if I can.
What do you mean you don't know if you can?
Well, because I'm in this autistic spiral. I can't stop. Okay. I can't stop. I'm like, I gotta do this. And so anyway, she's like, yeah, do you need my help? I'm like, I think
yes.
I do. Okay.
Take an Uber. Send me where you are.
No. So actually, she had taken the train up north. My daughter had picked her up.
Okay.
So what she did was she, my daughter had picked her up. They went home again, left my daughter at home. She went and found some place that sold the screw things. And she got some at a local store. Now, they it wasn't an auto parts store. I think these were the ones actually meant for, like, dryer hoses or something.
I'm like, oh, my God, you got some. Great. Now we're down to using house parts for a car. Okay, good. We're heading in the right direction here. Yes, there you go.
So she gets that and then comes to me. Now, with all the round trips and back and forth, by the time she gets to me, and she brings Alex with her because Alex wanted to witness this to make fun of his dad.
Good man.
Because he loves to mock me for things like this.
Good man. Yes. Good job, Alex.
By the time they got to me, it was about 10 p.m.
Oh my God. Okay. Holy shit. You see, this is the reason I said that moment, the one moment of clarity that you had this whole day, I'll go eat lunch. That was the one moment that I said you had clarity, because fuck, if you had not, by this moment you would have been just dying.
Yes, absolutely. So there was a Red Robin in the mall. I went to the Perfect. Red Robin, had nice a nice burger.
There you go.
Nice yeah. burger. Yeah. So anyway, she got there. She brings the rings. She brings like some other tools. She tries for a few minutes to do it the same way I had been doing it. She's like, you're right. Can't do this. It's not going to work. But Let's try these.
Okay.
So we get those on it, and it, you know, she does this.
Of course she did.
You know, at this point, she's taken over. Because I'd been trying for hours and hours and hours. Now, I admit, towards the end of this, I began to be defeated. And in between tries, I would just go sit in the car for 15 minutes. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to try again. You know, because at this point, also, I'm sore. I've been using muscles I've never used before. You know?
I mean, well, it wasn't hot outside, at least, right?
It was hot.
Well,
it was hot to
what
me.
What was the temperature?
It was like 80.
Shit. Okay. So it was kind of, for you. Yeah, that was kind of warm for you. Okay. Yeah. Out there all day, 80 degrees. But remember, it's not
in the sun.
80 degrees in the sun and doing work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And doing physical work.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
And physical work where I'm like to squeeze this thing together to get the ring open. You're exerting quite a bit of pressure.
Force.
Not just I was like fighting with this thing for hours and hours
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, we get the hoses on. We get the hose on properly. We get the clamps on. It seems pretty secure. We add more fluids back in just in case,
okay.
You know, whatever. She puts the oil in, you know, because of course it was also almost completely out of oil.
Okay.
Yeah. And it definitely needed oil as well.
What was the last time you got the car serviced?
It was 1,000 miles overdue for the
1,000 overdue. 1,000.
About.
You know, for a 150,000 mile car, that's a lot.
Well, you know, okay, fine. Anyway, I had made a note that I had hit the number that I should be calling them, and I kept forgetting.
Ah, of course.
And so. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, so we're like, okay, let's try this. Because the dealership where we were going to drop it off, about 20 miles away.
Okay.
About 20 miles away. We made it about 10.
And what happened at the 10?
So we did make it 10 miles before it started overheating.
Okay, so the hose stayed on.
Yeah, we after it started overheating again, we carefully chose our route to not have to go over any of the bridges. We were going to go extra distance to not risk
getting stuck
being immobilized
on a bridge.
Yeah. Right. So at the moment it overheated, I took the next exit. We found like a parking place at some elementary school somewhere. And I popped the hood and the hoses did stay on.
Go Brandy.
But it was still overheating.
Go Brandy.
Yes, go Brandy, absolutely. But it was still overheating. So obviously, as you said at the very beginning, something else was going on. It wasn't just the split hose or whatever, right? And it's quite possible, by the way, that the hose wasn't split the first time I added fluid.
No, what probably happened is at some point after it overheated a couple of times, this is a resultant thing that happened because of the overheat that the hose split, but this wasn't the source of the problem. This was a secondary problem.
Right. Yes. So anyway, at this point, it's like after midnight, we're in the parking lot. I finally call AAA.
11 hours later.
It takes 2 hours for AAA to get to us. AAA takes the car away. You know, takes it to my dealer that, you know, usually like, I've gotten all the service and repairs and blah blah blah. So they text me in the morning,
yep,
to let me know what was going on. So let me see, okay, was your initial diagnosis correct? Let me read you what the person said. His name is Carlos, by the way. Carlos has worked with me for years. Sam, not good news, man. The oil is mixing with coolant from the car running hot. This indicates internal engine gasket failure or possibly a major engine component failure, cylinder head or block. The next step would be engine disassembly. Maybe time to move on from this car?
So I was right. It's exactly what I said.
You were right.
These cars, unfortunately, I know you had a Subaru, but unfortunately.
Yes.
Subarus over the last 15, 20 years have gotten a really bad reputation because they all fail in this same way.
And from what I understand, like from conversations a few years ago, not like right now, the particular years surrounding the 2012 were particularly bad for this problem. Like I gather you said they're still having the problem, but I gather it was worse.
Well, one like, thing right is around, obviously, like, what do we know about the recent ones? Like, you know, I don't know. They're not that old.
Yeah, because they're not old enough. Yeah.
But
yeah.
The reality is that they haven't really, really, really redesigned that engine that much. Okay? So it's not like they've done something major to make this not happen again. Okay? So, right. Yeah, and that's the reason why I mentioned about why this was catastrophic, because you didn't see the damn water outside. The only fucking right. way it could be is it's because it's mixing up with the fucking engine oil, okay? That's the only place where it could be, okay? There is no other place it's going. It's not, you know, it's not disappearing. It's going into the engine. It's mixing with the oil. That turns it into, man, it looks like a milkshake when it's in there, unfortunately. And
so the bottom line, the best case scenario, and the worst just goes up for that, would be like $7,000 to deal with this thing.
How much
is the car is not worth?
How much is the car worth?
It's not worth even remotely close to $7,000.
So
it's,
basically,
I'd be lucky if it's worth $1,000.
You got to junk it. You've got no choice.
You know, because here's it, like, look, not only is it a 2012 Subaru Impreza, it's a 2012 Subaru Impreza where the back seat has been eaten by rats and not replaced. So, like, it's, well, not entirely, but there's a hole. Like, we put a seat, at a certain point, we decided it's not worth fixing
so
the
we'll
back
put a seat
because that would cost $3,000. We'll put a seat cover on. And I've been good about putting in, like, the little rat repellent stuff every few months. Well, I haven't been good right now. Well, oh, well, it doesn't matter anymore. Anyway, so like, yeah, I'd be lucky if the damn thing's worth $1,000. You know, I probably have to pay to get the thing, like, taken away, you know. I mean, there might be some parts that it could be sold for. I don't know. But, like,
is worth junk value at this point. They'll take it Look, if your doors are in, you know, if your doors are in decent shape, the hood,
nothing's in decent shape. This is me you're talking
about.
I mean,
what I'm saying, are they rusted through, you know, or something?
Probably not rusted through.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, somebody will... You know, somebody has got a beater car wants a hood, you know, whatever.
Gotcha.
You know,
I mean, they're not pretty. Everything's scrapped.
No, well, they're going to have to paint it, whatever. But if it's not rusted through, somebody needs to use.
I've got tape permanently attached in various places.
Okay, so basically, Sam has cooked. Sam has once again cooked another car.
Just to be clear, taped not because I'm like holding parts of the car together. Taped because at one point or another, well, like there's at one point, Alex bought some stuff at Lowe's that didn't fit inside the car, and so he attached it to the car with Scott tape.
Can I give you the worst news? Can I give you the worst news?
Yes.
If you would have called me immediately when this happened.
You would have told me.
No, I would have told you to stop immediately because I suspected it had to be the head gasket. And here's the thing.
Yes.
Can I tell you the worst news? That if you probably had stopped driving at that moment.
I might have made it worse. Yeah.
No, you did. No, you didn't.
I probably made it worse.
You made it worse. Unfortunately.
Yes.
So if you had stopped at that moment.
And immediately gotten towed.
Immediately gotten towed. It may have been salvageable, but.
Probably not,
because the problem is you still had to replace the head gasket, which means tearing apart the engine, which means a couple of $1,000 job. And if the car's not worth, you know, the car's probably still not worth the repair. One of the things is that these cars used don't get a lot of money. Don't get a lot of money because everybody knows that.
We all We already, a few years ago, once, put more money into it than it was worth just to keep it going a few more years. Doing it again makes no sense.
Not with this, no.
No.
The moral of the story that I will tell you, here is the moral that that I will tell you, is that because of your driving and maintenance record, my suggestion is whatever the fuck car you buy right now, please, for the love of God, make it be a Toyota. And I will tell you why. Look, fucking Toyotas. This shit doesn't happen. And not just that, but they allow themselves to get abused and still be rescued anyway, because the cars are, it's a resale value thing. Fucking Subarus have gotten such a bad rap over the years for this shit that the resale value of the used ones is zero, because everybody knows that their engines are a ticking time bomb waiting to go off. Okay. But a used Toyota like this, with these miles and this age, probably without the rad, hopefully, you know, it looks like the dented, would have been $7,000, $8,000, you know, at that age. They just hold value so much more because people know, even if a psychopath like you, who knows nothing about maintenance, gets a hold of one of these, they won't be able to destroy it.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, I don't particularly like the Toyota, so we'll see.
Who cares about liking the car? I don't give a shit about you liking the car. I want you to get a fucking Toyota Prius. Okay? You know why? Because you will not break it. You will not break
anyway.
It. A Corolla hybrid. Whatever. But you will not break this fucking thing. And that is like my primary goal. My primary goal is not for you to like it. My primary goal is for you to go A to B, that if you forget your oil interval by 3,000 miles, the car won't give a shit, because that's how Toyotas are. That's the reality. Listen, you will go through all the records. I keep watching all these videos of people car repair. The reason I know about this is because I watched so many of these that I knew that this is a common problem. But the one thing that you watch in all of these, the common thread, is that they got some guy that's like you, but was driving a Corolla, and they went 5,000 miles over to service. And they go in, they bring the car, and they're like, motherfucker. It's like the car didn't care. It just kept going. It didn't matter. And you want to keep your car for 300,000 miles.
Well, actually, my that would be ideal. My only criteria is I drive until this happens.
Yes.
But I would like it to be as long as possible.
So the reality is that the only manufacturer that makes a vehicle that can withstand your use case is Toyota. I don't think you're understanding this. You don't really have an option, unless you just like to go through this shit, I guess. Well, it makes for good content.
Well, it makes for good content, and it has been, 2012? I think I actually bought it at the end of 2011. So what, that's 14 years? That's not
bad. But it's only 150,000 miles, Sam. It really isn't that many miles. Not for a modern car. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, like, I got rid of, you know, like, my BMW that has the thing is, the BMWs have a reputation for breaking more, but the reality is that because I'm a pain in my ass, you know, like, I got rid of it with 170,000 miles, okay, you know, for example, but a modern car going 200,000 miles isn't really like it used to be. That was like an outlier. It has become far more common, like with Hondas, Toyotas, even a number of like GM products. But a lot of them, the problem is that they're massively gas guzzling, like Chevy Silverados or something like that. That, you know, I mean, you know, you're getting like gallons for the mile, and it's like not really conducive.
Yeah. So, like, look, we may talk more car shopping.
Well, because you have to go to the office. You need a car.
Yes. I need a car.
I mean, right away.
This week, I already made an excuse and said, hey, my car's in the shop. I'm going to work from home for the next few days. And it was a holiday week. I need, you know, Monday, I need to be in the office. Now, that does not mean I need a car. But
you can take the train. You're going to have You're going to have to fucking take the train for a little bit.
I'm going to have to get rides, take the train, take the bus. I will have to take one of those modes of operation that I have complained about in the past being horribly inconvenient. But I've got no choice. So I'm going to have to do that for a little while. Because I also don't want to rush. Like, is it physically possible that I could go out tomorrow and have a car by Monday? Yes.
This would be very simple if you just took the fucking common sense advice, which is don't go anywhere.
Get a Prius.
Go to Toyota and get a fucking Prius. Don't even think about it. Go get a fucking Prius. That's it. You
last
don't need any. By the way, the new Prius, by the way, looks really cool.
Is improved?
No. Not just improved. It looks
not the outside. I hated the interior.
The interior is improved. The exterior is improved. How it drives is improved. The mileage is improved. Right now, it's rated as one of the best fucking cars there is. It's not like before. It was kind of like queer. No. This car now is a really fucking nice car. It's cheap, reliable, and economical. You cannot, you know, because I know that for you, I'm like not saying get an electric car because you will be stranded without a battery in like inside, like, I don't know. I don't think.
No. I definitely would go that direction if I could. I'm not worried about the battery.
Well, or you get a Prius Prime.
Like most of my.
Here's the thing. I'll tell you what. The Prius Prime gets you 50, 60 miles on plug-in. The great thing about the Prius Prime is that even when it's not on battery, unlike some plug-in hybrids, it still gets excellent mileage that some don't, but that one does. And it's bulletproof. The cars are fucking bulletproof. You just need a bulletproof car. Just go get a fucking Prius. Just stop fucking dicking around. Just don't, you know. I can't remember. From the Slack. It's not, I think, Ed have a Prius?
I think several people have had Priuses.
And they all love them.
Bob just got that Ioniq.
He likes the Ioniq. The Ioniq 5 is really cool. There's some really great deals on it. You know, the only thing I about the Ioniq is it's not the same manufacturer.
You just had Prius?
Yeah, but no, the reason is because I know, because here's the thing. Toyota build quality is still far better than Hyundai. Okay, period. That's it. That's the reason. And right now, what I want is like something that is bulletproof. And Toyota build quality is still the best out there. There's just no, you know, every time that I see some old Toyota, if people come in and it's like, holy shit. You know, it's just, they are just so reliable that, you know, for you, I would say, get a fucking Prius. They're cheap.
Cheap is important too. Like my ideal price right now would be zero.
Oh well, you know
that now, but I know zero is not possible. I had been like for the last few months keeping my eye on those Ioniqs because they do look cool. But and look, size wise,
I mean, listen, the Ioniq is the Impreza good, size. The Ioniq
by the way, the Impreza. Perfect size for me. Like, I don't want much smaller. I don't want much bigger. So close to that size.
The Prius is very close to that size. As far,
and so is the Ioniq. The Ioniq's a little.
The Ioniq is a little bit bigger. Not a lot because bigger. It's more like a little wagon. John has a Prius. A Prius. Yes, that he loves as well.
And anyway, like, so we'll be poking around. And like, yeah, the Ioniq is also like, we price range would be stretched.
Well, that's the thing. Whereas the Prius,
like could probably manage it, but would have to be really sure about it. And also, like, you know, I'm not going to get into details on this stuff, but like, you know, I'm still not feeling super secure in my employment.
Toyota Prius, so I don't starting wanna, like, MSRP, you know, $28,350. Okay, here's the other thing about the Prius. I would say the one reason why It's
and
still,
and the Primes you mentioned start at 33.
Exactly. Here's the thing about why the Toyota in the end is cheaper anyway than the Ioniq by miles. It doesn't matter. So if you get the a plug-in, you're still eligible for the tax credit. Okay, number one, if you lease it, okay, then you could buy it out, whatever. But just to get the tax credit, that's what a lot of people do. Just because it's by the way, you can still get those until September. Okay,
but remember also, like, we. I beat the hell out of cars.
The only reason, listen, there are people literally that I heard at VW that were doing this. In order to get the tax credit,
they buy it immediately.
They would lease it and they would buy it out immediately just to get the tax credit.
Like seconds later.
Literally, back to back transactions. Okay. Literally. And so that saves you $7,500. It's not two bits. Okay. It's a lot of money. All right. So that's important. And since it's going away, by the way, the credit's going away in September.
September. Right.
So, I mean, this is the opportunity to get that. And look, man, I'm telling you, I honestly, I love this car. It's a great car. Anybody that asks me what a reliable transportation,
Prius,
fucking get the goddamn Prius. It's fucking great. You know, you will not be unhappy with this. And it will resist your abuse, which is more important than anything. And if you look at the interior in the pictures.
But can I easily change the radiator?
You won't have to.
Because I want to do that like
That's the first thing you're going to do. You're going to spend 12 hours out there in the heat again, like, you know, exerting yourself to death. If you look at the interior of this car, of like before, it looks really nice. Everything is really nice about this car. There's nothing bad about this car. And it's and you know what? Your fuel budget, what you spend on fuel in the first month, I guarantee you will drop like 80%. Because right now, your Impreza's got to do, what, 20-something miles per gallon maybe commuting to work?
I probably less at this point. It probably did that when it was new.
So not even, okay? This will get 70, 80 miles per gallon. So you're going to be saving, probably, because you're driving now, how far is your commute every day?
About 25
miles. So 50 miles round trip. I mean, think about this, okay? You're doing 250, you're doing 1,000 miles, you know, 1,000 miles divided by 20, which is 50 gallons. 50 gallons times about over $3, $150, close to $200 a month on gas. This thing will save you $150 on fuel easily a month. Just so whatever you're thinking about, you're going to save $150 on fuel, at least, a month.
Anyway, we've been going a long time. We have like no time left for like news stuff. But we will probably discuss more car options on the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack. I won't mention it
Apple
there
CarPlay,
until this
Android
episode
Auto.
Is out.
Look at all this shit. Look, it's cool. It drives. It's economical. It's reliable. What the fuck else you want? And it's cheap. This is the one thing I keep getting. People going to the dealership. Well, we can't find a car for less than $50,000. No, no, no. You can. All you idiots just want to spend too much money. It used to be in the past that to get a nice car, some features and whatever, you have to buy the luxury car. You have to buy the whatever. One of the things I'm having a discussion this week is that a lot of the mainstream cars now have so many of the features that used to be only exclusive to luxury cars.
Wait a second. Is the handle just hidden? That's
what do you mean the handle? Like it's a short knob. Like it's looking a short at the knob. It's not hidden.
Looking at the Prius Prime from a distance, it looks like it didn't have a back door.
Oh, no, it's a hatchback.
Well, yeah, I see
that. All the cars now have the handles hidden in the back. They're all hidden in a little thing. Modern thing.
Weird.
It's not weird. Almost every modern car has that damn thing hidden in the back. Under the lip. Like my wife's CRV is that way. My car is that way. Literally almost every car.
I see the thing maybe. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. So now, anyway, now the decision will be made.
We will talk more in the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack after this is out. Yes. What are you laughing at now?
Of course, the key buying decision will be the. It's right under the Toyota logo. It's right by the rearview camera. There you go. I can see it. There you go. In the back. There's a little indentation.
For the back door. The back door.
Oh, no, they're on the top right. They're No. That's the door handles are.
Yeah, I found it.
Yeah,
I found
yeah.
it.
They're
just weird. Ah, it's not enough.
Aerodynamic.
Anyway. Oh.
Save fuel. Save the fucking planet. I know that the Republicans are, you know, just passed a bill that said, let's kill the fucking planet, bitches. We won't be here then anyway.
Okay. Okay.
New GOP slogan. 2026.
So, yes, for anybody interested in giving me advice on this, chime in on the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack. Probably, like I said, we will probably do some looking at cars, and I will look at a Prius, and I'll probably also look at an Ioniq, although it's probably spendy for me right now. But
you got to remember the $7,500.
But it looks cool.
You got to remember the $7,500 credit. Okay. You got whatever you do. The thing that you do, I'm telling you, the thing that you
make sure
to take that into account. And the way that you buy it out is quite simple. Recently, you joined a credit union that part of. They offer excellent financing for these. All you do is very simple. You do the lease at the store. You take that paperwork. You apply to their credit union. You want to buy out the lease. You get the amount for the buyout. You send it to them. They'll do all the paperwork. Boom, boom, boom. And all of a sudden, it's done. And you get your $7,500. Don't fuck around on losing. Do not. If you're going to get one of these that qualifies it, do not do the fuck up. Oh, no, I don't want to lease. No, fuck that. You lease it and you turn around and you fucking finance it immediately.
Okay. We will talk more, Yvonne, offline and on the Slack. And if anybody else wants to give me advice, do it on the Slack. We will look at some cars this weekend, but we'll almost assuredly not actually buy this weekend, maybe next weekend. So, of course, the other possibility, I could just get like a really old beater, just as old as the one I
sure,
have.
Sure, and that will like last. Toyota. Yeah, well, if it's an old beater Toyota, maybe. Sure.
Get like a 20-year-old Toyota, replace the 15-year-old Subaru.
A 20-year-old Camry. I mean, they said that, you know, the Earth, you know, they will probably survive the flood.
Okay. Shall we actually take a break?
Yes, and let's talk about something.
Maybe spend 20, 30 minutes about something else and then wrap it up. Okay. Here we go. Which break is it? It is this break. The one and only break this time, I think. Here we go.
AlexandTheWet.com. Bang Alex and Dad. Gaming videos and more from Alex. Elementary school by day. YouTube by night. AlexandTheWet.com. AlexandTheWet is AlexandTheWet, and .com is period and then com.
Okay, we are back. So what do you want to talk about? I talked about a car for an hour, so it's your turn.
What do we want to talk about? Let's see what happened this week. I mean, the only subject that we really left on there is the fact that the Republicans passed the big, stupid bill. I mean... And that's really about the only thing.
One big, beautiful bill, which, by the way, they made the actual title of the bill. It's not just Trump saying
it. No.
I mean,
know
it was Trump saying it, but then they made it the title of the bill.
I mean, it's just the entire spectacle was disgusting. It is painfully clear from many that so many of the Republicans themselves hated this bill, but they were all scared of going against Donald. That's it. Nothing else. This bill doesn't really, I mean, it's the only people that benefit is people that make a lot of money tax-wise. Everybody else gets screwed. Everything else gets screwed. Oh, and we did this incredibly ridiculous increase in ICE funding.
Massive, like
10 times. We've given ICE 10 times the budget it had before, which is absolutely just insane. By the way, how crazy is this? All the polling shows, and 70% of people are unhappy with this immigration campaign as it has been rolled out the last few months. Polling shows huge numbers of people against it. But that's what they put in the bill. Second thing, because the Republicans have realized that they could just say any lie, and most of their supporters will believe it. They keep saying that this cuts the deficit, whereas this will significantly increase the deficit. This bill is anything about, it actually does a whole bunch of things that stifle jobs, not actually create jobs, because there is no funding in here, for example, to incentivize any job creation. I mean, it's all trickle down shit again. The funding bill cuts healthcare for a lot of people. And by the way, but more cynically, delays the healthcare cuts until a couple of years later. So people, because to convince our gullible electorate that the Republicans didn't do it. So then if they lose, they can blame the Democrats for their healthcare cuts. How cynical is that?
Yes. And not only the healthcare cuts, but other things are also delayed to after midterms, at least. Basically, anything that could have a negative effect that people would feel right away, well, not anything, but lots of things with negative effects that people are delayed till after midterms. Whereas, of course, the things that they really want, you know, like the ICE funding, which will also have a negative effect on a lot of people, but just saying, those things come into play much more quickly.
So I'm just...
And the tax stuff.
So it's blah, blah, blah. I mean... The biggest problem about this is that just like before, you know, these tax cuts to the rich don't translate into any economic boost. They never have. We've gone through this before already. We've tried this before. W did it. Trump did it. Reagan did it. None of these things translate into any general economic benefit. Biden showed very clearly that if you do give money to, you know, people like from poverty to 1 to 2 times the poverty line, that money does translate directly into economic impact, okay, for the economy, because those people are the ones that are most in need. And when they get that money, they spend it right away because they need it, okay? Uh-huh. They needed it. But this bill does the total opposite. It's going to make those people poor while, you know, giving money to the rich. And by the way, forget about this. At the same time, we're talking about all this tariff policy, which it appears that Trump is, you know, unless the courts finally decide on whether all these tariffs are illegal, which that is still in some kind of holding pattern. I'm not sure where that case is still going through.
All of these legal things will take a long time.
You know, Sam was asking me about the impact of tariffs and why haven't we seen them? And I was mentioning how difficult it is to gauge the timeline. Goldman Sachs came out with a note recently specifically talking about this that I had shared on the Slack. They basically said, listen, guys, these are going to happen. This is inflationary. This will take inflation back to levels that we had 2 years ago. Okay. There is no, you know, it's hard to go and tell you exactly, but their note said tariffs have not yet meaningfully affected broader inflation data, but the levies will soon cause inflation to shoot back up to the highest level since 2023. Okay, that's the analysis from Goldman Sachs economists. Not exactly a whole bunch of left-wing psychopaths over there at Goldman Sachs last time I checked, okay? So, no.
No?
No, it's not a... No, no. I know it's hard to believe. So, that's the thing, like, right now. You've got... I mean, you're making poor people poor with healthcare and all these other cuts or whatever, and at the same time, you've done all of this that's going to make inflation go back to where it was a couple of years ago. I mean, this is a disaster. But the other big issue, we've increasing funding of ICE by this much, right? What is that going to do to the labor market? Because
you're going to hire a lot of ICE agents.
Apparently, we're going to hire a lot of ICE agents in order to basically reduce the pool of available labor on the other side, which will have a negative effect on economic growth and will also be inflationary. I mean, this entire thing is the worst combination of everything. And by the way, many Republicans know this and have said so in private. They know this.
Right.
And these fuckers just followed this idiot off the cliff. And people are dumb. So many, the other day I heard somebody, and I have to explain this again, and they didn't realize. I heard somebody say, they know that all this is bad. And you know what they asked me? Well, why didn't the Democrats stop it? And I'm like, okay, I have to explain. I said, without being condescending, okay, I don't think you understand, but the Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. The Democrats cannot stop anything unless some Republicans join them.
Really?
Yes, really. But Sam, so many people, it's like the same people that told me, well, why didn't the Democrats save abortion?
I'm sorry. If you'd wanted Hillary in 2016.
I mean, but even still, how why did they? I mean, we haven't, like I said, and,
yeah, I know,
and
I know.
The only time that the fucking Democrats have had a filibuster-proof majority was so brief in the last 30 years.
And they used
heaven
that
forbid
for,
they gave us all health care. You know what? The thing is that I keep going to how stupid our electorate is. Because, it's just so difficult to see cause and effect. The Democrats, when they held all the levers of power, gave us the biggest improvement in health care since Medicare was passed.
Right. Yeah. In the 1960s.
They gave us the biggest improvement in the average health care of every American since Medicare was passed. And people don't understand that's what they did.
And by the way, also in the probably people don't fully understand and won't for a while, if ever, is that this thing that just passed this week undoes a significant part of that. Like, not directly, but by reducing funding for the Medicare expansion, a lot of that is going to go away. There's, and of course, they're all gaslighting this too. Like, there's like, oh, we're not touching Medicaid.
Yeah, we're just cutting them off the money.
You know, right. We're getting rid of fraud and abuse. No, there are significant cuts. The estimates are like, over 10 million people will lose access to health care.
Now, here's the one thing. But
over a few years,
10 million people lose it. That is still better than where we were before the ACA. Okay.
Yeah.
That is still better.
Yeah.
But still, all they did is make it worse. Everything they do just makes shit worse. For the average American, every time these guys pass some legislation, what is it that they do to make, I don't fucking understand this. How the hell could these guys just get away with at every turn, make the average American's worse? And people don't get it. They don't get it.
But Yvonne, they're going to get rid of all the criminal rapist Mexicans.
The criminal rapist Mexicans.
All the gangs. And they'll make it easier for you to get guns. Did you see one of the important things in this bill that just passed? No sales tax on silencers.
Well, I know that's... How could they regulate sales tax at a state level?
I don't know. I heard that. I could be wrong.
Yeah, because
I'm sorry. I think they did. Well, now I mean, that you're sounds
weird because, I mean, sales tax is a, you know, state and local thing.
Let's see. Oh, it's the tax stamps on silencers.
Okay. Yeah, because they're federal
tax stamps, not sales tax.
As they bought, like, okay, all right.
Are going to zero.
Not sales tax. Okay, all right. That makes no sense.
It's it was some tax.
Yeah, well, okay. But that's fair to be on the right tax.
But this is important. Of course, we need more silencers.
I mean, they take away healthcare to give you gun silencers, Sam. The hell's wrong with these people?
And this is another one of those things. I mean, we've talked one ongoing theme on this show is how, you know, you just talked about how the electorate just doesn't know what's going on. There's part of that, this basic education about civics, knowing how government works. And then another big part that we have talked about a lot
is the Democratic message.
The inability to, well, Democratic messages, but I was just going to say the inability to process delayed reaction.
Yeah, that's
this bill is another bill that will have implications going out over the course of an entire decade. Some things will hit right away. Some things will hit after a couple years. Some things will hit after 5 or 6 years. Now, that does potentially mean that some future Congress and some future administration could undo it before we get to the end of the 10 years. But as passed, this has timed effects going out over an entire decade. And they specifically backload some of the things. You know, so some random thing hits in 2030. How many people are going to connect the dots and be, this is because of who I elected back in 2024, 6 years ago? You know? I mean, even those of us who pay lots of attention, it's hard to always connect those dots of like, oh, yeah, this is happening because of that law that was passed 7 years ago, you know, or whatever. I'll also note there is significant undoing of a lot of the act with all the subsidies for renewable energies.
Now, a number of them, at least, they were
being built for that.
They gave them time. They didn't do like abruptly.
Some
projects need to get kicked off by 2026.
Some of them were cut out by the Senate.
You know, so they've got time to kick off some projects and certain things. So at least the Senate didn't go and like end them abruptly. The one that ends the quickest is the car credit. That was set for September.
September. So, back to my car thing. If I'm going
to
do something,
it needs to be right away.
Do it now.
Yeah, you have But the car credit goes away by September. But there were others, like for clean energy projects, I think they gave them a deadline of like 2026 that they had to get started by, and some others like that, that they delayed certain deadlines. And like you mentioned, some of the healthcare cuts didn't start until 2027. So after midterms, they were very, this was pure political calculation.
Yes. And you know, even some of them, like some Republicans in Congress have implied, well, like Susan Murkowski or whatever, when she voted for it
Susan?
In the Senate,
Susan
said
Murkowski?
She hopes to
you combine Susan Collins with Lisa
did I get
Murkowski?
It wrong?
This sounds
oh, I
like
did.
A,
I
like,
did. I did.
Well, kind of like, well, you know,
I combined
yeah, sure,
them.
Why not? Same thing.
Same thing, basically. Lisa Murkowski, I think, specifically said that she was not happy with the bill, even though she like voted for it. But she hoped the House would fix it and it would come back to the Senate again. Of course, that didn't happen. But off the record, I've heard people, you know, reporting that at least some Republicans in Congress have been like, don't worry, it won't be that bad. At some point, the Democrats will fix some of this.
So basically, this is what they're, okay, so this is their thought process, okay, which talks about the cynicism of these bastards. Because we have said this before, that they're not interested in fixing anything. They're not interested in legislation. They're just interested in clicks. So this is what you do. You pass this whole damn thing that allows, you know, Donald to have his victory at this political thing or whatever. You're allowed to go out there, like, claim how blah, 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 all this stuff. And you do it knowing full well that a whole bunch of it's going to be undone. So therefore, you didn't do it because you wanted to fix anything. You just wanted to do it to score a political victory.
Oh, I will add to that. I will add to that. If you do have a situation where the Democrats get back in power, even partially, like they take like the House, but not the Senate, wherever, but and the bad effects start hitting after midterms, you can still blame Democrats.
Yes.
And by the way, if the Democrats do try to fix some of the problems at some later point, you can blame them at that point for the problem they're fixing and say they're messing with it. That's why.
Yeah. It's all their fault. You see, they're fucking around with it. Right. You see, we passed the perfect bill. And now the Democrats are fucking it up.
Right.
Look at shit. Like, for example, I love this one where the Wall Street Journal publishes a story. Wall Street worries as crisis level deficits have become the government's default mode. Okay, for example, because this is what that has been instituted. There's a chart that I shared from The Economist that showed that during the Biden administration, unlike what the Republicans have repeatedly claimed, public debt as a percentage of GDP started going down steeply during the Biden administration, and it had been growing under the Trump administration. It had surged over the pandemic, but Biden had started to make that go down in a double combination, because he had helped the economy grow stronger than it had been in a while at the same time, you know, spending had been managed in a more prudent way. This whole thing about the projection is that it's going to go through the roof. So, you know, it's so frustrating with these people. What all they do is just they lie. They just lie about it and lie and just, oh, it's going to cut the deficit. Oh, it's going to do this. Oh, no, we're fixing, you know. The headline on The Economist story was "The Big Beautiful Bill Reveals the Hollowness of Trumponomics," and that's the plain truth. It's just completely hollow. It's just all bullshit. There is no substance behind any of this whatsoever. Sigh. Oh, and by the way, good news. Yeah. Did you see that because of the cuts of the National Weather Service our flash flood forecasting has gotten much inferior? And how many people, 20, you know, about 24 people got killed, at least 20 girls attending a summer camp.
And there's still a bunch missing.
Okay. And by the way, this is not even us. Texas officials basically said this was all due to a bad forecast by the National Weather Service. Kills people, hurts people, hurts the country. I mean, there is what, Sam, what the fuck have they done that helps anybody other than themselves?
Well, that's the point. They're helping themselves.
But not even their voters, Sam.
I know. What they give their voters
on the lips. We banned five transsexual athletes across the country, Sam. Five of them. Look at that. We protected all of you from the five transsexual athletes that you were scared of for some reason.
The culture war stuff and own the libs is the raw meat that the Republican base gets happy with. I saw someone repost some social media post from somebody that said, you know, I forget exactly what they were talking about. It was pretty foul, but it was basically like, I'd be willing to pay like $50 for my like groceries or whatever, as long as we get rid of all those damn illegal immigrants. You know, for like an avocado or
what a fucking liar.
You know what?
You know what? The worst thing about these people, they're just such liars. Because the moment that they go to the store and they see an avocado at $50, you know what they're going to be doing. They're going to be living. And you know this. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So let's see. I'm looking at over here. So I found this thing. For example, let's talk about some of the cynical things in the bill. Tax cuts lasting only through Trump's term. Okay, this is a New York Times did a summary of this. Okay, just see how the cynical timelines on this thing. So, no tax on overtime only lasts through the end of Trump's term.
Yep.
So look at how they're doing this, right? So if a Democrat wins, what's gonna what does it look like?
What?
Stop typing. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Tax cuts. Stop typing.
You know, I'm researching the damn
okay,
part
well,
you were
know,
talking about.
Okay, well, you know, take a short
sorry.
Break because we only got a couple of minutes left. Tax cuts lasting only through Trump's term.
Okay.
Okay? No tax on overtime.
Yes.
So think about this. Democrat wins. All of a sudden,
it goes away.
No tax on tips. Also, now, again, same thing. Ends. No tax on carload. Interest.
I will add a lot of people, too, also. All of these ones that you're running through, if you look into the details of them, don't actually help the people who need them most very much because they're very right. low limits that you have to be below for them to apply.
My point is the cynical timeline. Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
Other tax provisions, for example. But those end there, you know, I mean, it's just that one was the one to me that really just was just so cynical about how they would go and like do that. But hey, we'll do it. But hey, Democrats in power, we could blame them for it immediately. You know, you're going to see. And that's what they're negotiating. So anyway. All right. Well, we're almost at our usual time. I think we need to be done.
We're good. It's time to do the wrap up. I have to deal with the damn car thing. I really didn't want to right now, but whatever. Okay. curmudgeon-corner.com. You can find all our stuff, our archives, our transcripts, all the ways to contact us, stuff. I still have not linked the TikTok. At this point, I will. Next time I mess with the site, I'll add the TikTok.
Well, apparently you shared we got a lot of views of the last TikToks.
Yeah, the last TikTok had a few. Let me see here. I posted three videos. One of them had 145 views. One of them had 777. And the third one had 795.
I mean, that you shared them 780 views on one.
Well, I just gave you the updated
number. You said sounded lower.
The one where the three numbers are 145, 777,
and 795. I thought 77. Okay.
795. Yes. And we got comments on two of the three videos, and we got likes on all three. Lots of likes. You always get a few of those, I guess. Whatever. Let's read. Okay. So one is. The one that got the most is the one where we talked about our disappointment in how elected officials... I just want the comments. I don't want to play the video. Here we go. Comments. Where we talked about our disappointment in establishment Democrats supporting Cuomo and the Mamdani stuff. So let's see. Somebody said... Let's do all comments. All comments. Somebody said we lost a good representative by getting rid of Franken.
Yeah.
Because you talked about Franken. Somebody said, I wish I could explain why the leadership didn't understand this.
Well, I know why. I just
we got
stupid reasoning, but I know why. It's just not valid. Okay.
We got someone saying, and you are both demonstrating critical thinking in real time. You are 100% correct to question why the establishment keeps running the absolute worst candidates, despite real people turning up in droves to support progressives like Bernie and Mamdani. politicians who are actually in line with the party's value. We had somebody say that the Dem charade is undeniable now and unsustainable. The young people see it so clearly. Exhibit A, support for Cuomo against a popular progressive and the progressive wins the primary. Establishment Dems need Trump and will continue to just hand-wring as he dismantles democracy.
Yeah.
Hatred, fear of Trump is the Dem platform. They can't campaign on the party's ideals because they don't benefit the corporate donors. Republicans can rally their base and appease corporate donors at the same time because they want the same things. And then finally, the last comment on this one, Anthony Weiner, 2028. Just kidding.
Oh, I'm sure. No,
just kidding.
Are you kidding? I read somewhere that he was thinking about running for something.
No. He did run. He ran for this one.
I didn't realize he was.
And he did not do well.
You think?
I think it was this.
I thought it was something.
It might have been
else.
Something
he,
else. Whatever he ran for, he did very, very badly. He got like just a couple percent or something. Anyway, he says, just kidding, but we've learned basically nothing is his statement. And for some reason, that was only five, but it says there's seven comments. Let me check one more place, see if it's not showing up in one place, but it is the other. I don't know. Nah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We got more comments on the other one, too, with people talking about the economy and blah, blah, blah. Weird. Oh, I don't know. I don't know why, my dashboard here doesn't show all the comments, but there's more elsewhere. I don't know. Anyway, that's it for TikTok. And as usual, you can also go to our Patreon and give us money if you like the show and appreciate it and want to, help pay for my new car. You can. The $25, $27 a month from the Patreon, I'm sure will go a long way towards whatever payment I need. Except we're saving that up for the next meetup. So never mind. Never mind. Or maybe I'll use it on my car. And that'll be my down payment.
There you go. I'll be okay with that. That's fine. You need a car. I'm good with that. Yeah, that's good use of the money.
Yeah, this month's $25.
I support the $25 going towards Sam's down payment. Yes.
Anyway, yeah, go to our Patreon at various levels. We will mention you on the show. We will ring a bell. We will send you a postcard. We will send you a mug. And yes, I do still owe several people. I owe a couple postcards. I know I owe a mug. I think I will eventually get to it. I have it on a list somewhere. I just keep never getting to the list. Just like oil changes.
Yeah, I noticed.
When
I met Sam, he had the dashboard of his Dodge Colt that he had. Like, what do you say?
It's still in the garage.
Okay, is it a habit that I say? He had it in his dorm room. And the Dodge Colt died because of an oil. Because it didn't have oil.
Yes. Well, nobody had told me I needed to put oil in the damn thing.
I will say that the massive improvement from then to now is that you did see a light that said that you were missing something and you tried to put it in versus before.
There you go.
That's a huge improvement.
There you go. I was proud we ended up getting that hose on.
Listen, I will admit that I'm impressed that you were able to get that hose on. Unfortunately, the problem is that the hose didn't really, like I said, but it was a valiant effort to do a repair that actually didn't fix any of the problems.
Yeah, that should be the story of my life. Right? Oh, well. Okay.
Well, no, we are done. One more thing. We got one thing from the Slack.
Oh, yes. The highlight from the Slack. Go ahead, Yvonne.
Anthropics Claude.
Oh, yeah. We will invite you to, I didn't even say, we will invite you to the Slack if you donate to the Patreon at $2 a month or more, or if you just ask. Okay, now.
All right. Anthropics Claude stocked a fridge with metal cubes when it was put in charge of a snacks business. So if you're worried about your local Bodega convenience store may soon be replaced by an AI storefront, you can rest easy after Anthropics Claude AI had a hard time of running a mini fridge business. You know what? Here's the thing. I think you would be happy with...
We've talked about those tungsten cubes on the show before.
Be thrilled. You get to...
I have it on my Amazon wish list.
You would be thrilled if you got to... Oh! metal cubes. Look at that.
Well, look here. I want to be fair, like, because they make fun of they. I've seen lots of people making fun. Oh, look, the computer wanted metal cubes, blah, blah, blah. No, here's what happened. They had an internal Slack group where employees could ask for things they wanted at the snack thing. And some smartass said, I want the cubes.
Well, if the AI were really smart,
and
it
so,
would go, hey, you know what? That isn't food.
But, you know, people might like it. It's a vending machine.
And listen, I will say that there is one thing. I did get, like, a few years ago, not metal cubes, but for scotch, for some reason, like these little like cubes that I think were like kind of rocks that you're supposed to put them in the freezer to use those instead of ice to drink your scotch so it will cool it down. The advantage, obviously, is that it won't melt. So it won't, you know, it doesn't mix water with your drink. So that's, so I guess, you know, this isn't like completely insane, but also, yeah, most people don't really need metal cubes in their fridge, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but here's the thing, too. Like, it also made a bunch of mistakes. Like, it was selling some products at a loss, you know. You know, they cut it off when it, they gave it a certain amount of money to play with, and they cut it off when it lost 25%.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
You know, It dived in initially. It lost a bunch of its money to start up. Then it started actually, like, the curve started trending up a little bit. And then I forget exactly which thing. They said there was one particular decision it made that it just started plummeting. and like, most of its losses were due to one particular purchase choice, where it bought something expensive and was like giving it away.
I love this. By the way, here's what I will say: this, that it's pretty good at mimicking humans, I will say. Because you get, man, let me tell you, I one time I had to stop putting, listen, I took away all purchasing power from employees at the pharmacy when I took over, when I was like, when I finished college, because, man, we had exactly that. Some people making these purchases of shit that was unsaleable. Okay. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Why the fuck did we just fill up this shelf with this shit that doesn't sell? Well, the sales rep gave me a good like speech and I'm like, nobody wants this. I had to like mark it down like 80% to get the shit to move because I just wanted the shit. I wanted it gone. Even if I just got 20 cents on the dollar, at least I got something. Instead of like it occupying an entire fucking shelf. So anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I should start an AI run shop as my next venture. Like quit my job, open a little bodega somewhere. Get one of those little kiosks in the middle of the mall.
My wife used to have an AI kiosk at the middle of the mall when she first came to the States. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
That's a rough business. Let me tell you something. That's a fucking rough business.
Well, that's why I want to let the AI run it for me.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you need is a little, you know, I was just talking to people, but we've got, we're selling these robotic kiosks now. So basically just, you know, so people could walk up to the kiosk to go at a cell phone store. So you can go over there, like do all your transaction talking to some little like animated robot thing.
Thing, yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, it's good. Well, you're selling it. It's got to be good, right?
Oh, no, it's fantastic. What are you kidding me? It's the best damn thing. Best damn thing we made. What are you kidding? It's fantastic.
There you go.
I'm like, yes, they're excellent. They're fantastic.
Okay, we are done. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. And we will talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, well, it's Sam from the future here, and I know several times during the show I asked for, you know, people to chime in on the Slack and maybe elsewhere on what I should do about my car. But yeah, less than 12 hours after I recorded that and before I'm putting the episode out, I actually already bought the car. And I did indeed get an Ioniq 5. So it's been home almost 12 hours now. I drove it home. I parked it. I went to sleep. I edited the podcast. So I've only actually driven the new car once so far. So far, so good. I like it. Anyway, yeah, I already bought it. So if you have any thoughts, feel free to chime in anyway. But as a bonus of actually getting to the end of the episode, you know that I already did this. Yeah. So I recorded the show, did a couple other things. Then my wife was in touch with somebody she knows from her work that owns a dealership, owns a Hyundai dealership. And we were there shortly thereafter, did a test drive. They set up the deal for us. And of course, they treated us well because they're a friend of my wife. And we did all the stuff. I went back and forth with Yvonne in text a few times to make sure we had a good deal and we were doing something that made sense. But yeah, the car is bought. Yeah. So there we go. Thanks all. Bye for real.